Lord, we bring our country before you. We know we are in such a time of volatility, Lord, with so much us versus them. And Lord, we would ask that we would have procedural wisdom as believers. Lord God, we're believers. That we would have procedural wisdom as to how to engage our world and the culture at this time in human history and in this time in American history in terms of the United States. Help us to be obviously kingdom citizens who also happen to be citizens of a nation that was founded on your ways, which cannot be denied. But at the same time, Lord, we know we're not called to force faith on anybody. That our founding fathers never desired to force faith on anybody. So Lord, help us to know how to handle what we face as we move into the fall. Come on now. Hallelujah. We thank you that no matter what happens, you are in charge, because your word declares that you're the King of Kings. You're the President of Presidents. Thank you for not just being the King, but for being the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lords. So take your word, and we've already said it, Lord, but take it and make it living and active in these next few minutes, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're facing a wonderful time in our human history and in our own personal history here in the U.S. with all that's going on. So I'm going to say some things that tie into that. But frankly, in the end, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we know that. And y'all know that. Y'all know that's really who we are. We are tourist attractions. This is not home. Home is with the Lord, and then in new heavens and new earth. But last time I was here with you, I gave you a phrase, and I'll just say it, but then I'll move into what I want to say to you. And it's on my wristband here. God is good. And if you remember that last year, I said that God is good, but he doesn't want to just be good. He wants to be God. So I don't like God as good alone. I like God is good. Because when God is God, then he gets to be good at a whole new level. I think that what frustrates people's perception of his goodness is that his lordship is nowhere to be found. And when lordship doesn't happen, his goodness is marginalized by virtue of our choices. Can I say this about America? In our history, we have been so phenomenally blessed. Like over the top. Why? Because of Judeo-Christian values. I mean, you can't argue with that. Okay, but then we don't beat people with that. What we say is the reason we've been so healthy is because of Judeo-Christian values. And the reason why we're struggling so much is because when you're blessed, you're in trouble. When you're this blessed, the temptations behind prosperity far exceed the temptations of just enough. I mean, it's just so obvious. You know, I used to be happy with two wheels and an engine. Well, obviously, Sturgis isn't happy with that. Have you checked out the trikes and the bikes? We need more. We need more. And we all know deep down we don't need more, more, more. We just need peace, peace, peace. Like any bike that's over $70,000, whoever owns it has father issues. I'm just kidding. On the road, but it almost feels that way a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys going down the road, man. I mean, it's just like testosterone is everywhere in this city right now. Why? Well, because we have issues. Maybe. I do believe God wants us to have a good time. I believe, when I mean that in not a fleshly time. Like, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? Okay? That means that we've been called to just enjoy all things, but replace him with none of it. So God is good. Can we say it? God is good. And last year, I shared it from the context of Genesis, in the beginning, God. God says, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to put my name in the fourth word. In the beginning, God. Because he says, I'm going to beat you to it. Because I know what you're going to do, you fallen people. You're going to go in the beginning, good. Because if we start with in the beginning, good, then we get to define God by what we call good. I believe that. I believe the human heart is wanting to tell God who he is. Yeah. The fallenness of humanity wants to tell God what he is and who he is and how he is. And God says, I'm going to beat you to it. In the beginning, me. And after God said, in the beginning, God, he gave us all the goods. He said, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. So he says, I'm going to define good, not you. And then he said, this is very good. And then he says, I'm going to really cover things. This is not good. And what was not good is Adam alone. So God made him put him to sleep because men need help. Because men don't know what's good for them. Have a sleep. Go to bed. I'm going to put you into a deep sleep. I'm going to put you into a deep sleep because you don't know what's good for you. When you wake up, you're going to have her. Now, she's your sister, but I'm talking. Okay, editing, please, please, please invite me back. Okay, and so the point here being that God gave Adam Eve. And you know what God called that? And then he says, you two just rule and reign and manage, steward the earth and be fruitful and multiply. And God called that very good. Basic ways of life. So I'm really into God is good, because I think that when God is God, then he gets to be good at a whole new level. But as we move into what it means to live as salt and light in our culture, I came across some insight with the help of others, because nothing is totally original. Three phrases. And with this, we'll bring this time to a coming together. Here are the three phrases. Are you ready, bro? Okay. Have a seat. Say it. You say, have a seat. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Have a seat.
I want you to say, they were planted, by the way. I'm paying them. Not really, but if you want, but I'll give you a free t-shirt. Okay. Have a seat. I want you to say, take a walk. Are you ready?
Take a walk.
Okay. You've heard the phrase, take a walk. I'm going to go take a walk. And I want you two in stereo. Yeah, you two guys on the side of Papa Bear. Okay, what I want you to say is make a stand. One, two, three. There we go. Twice. It was stereo, duo. Just one speaker was a little slower than the other. Okay, are you ready? What's yours? What's yours? Make a stand. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Have a seat.
Have a seat. Take a walk.
Have a seat, take a walk, make a stand. Some are saying, is that in the Bible? Yeah, it's in Ephesians. It's the three positions of our faith as we move into the fall. Have a seat. God in Scripture says, in Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And I'll read it right now. Here we go, Ephesians 2. It's a good thing to read the Word of God. You know, I tend to put stuff in creative little vignettes so that people will not forget them. And one of my friends knows I do that very quite often, and he says, you need to read the Bible more when you preach. He kind of like, hey, quit being so creative, Mr. Genius. You and your little phraseology and wordsmithing, why don't you just read the Bible? Okay, here we go. I'm going to take his advice. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this in 2024, I almost feel like, don't read it. It'll get you canceled. I mean, culture will not take this sitting down. Children of wrath? Who do you think you are, mister, for telling me that I could fall into the category of somebody under the prince of the power of the air and the course of this world? I almost feel scared reading this because someone's going to go, you hater. You hater. Get over the word hater. It's everywhere. We're called haters, haters, haters. And it's because the fallen side of humanity wants to redefine words. That's another topic. It's called linguistic theft. They're stealing the words and redefining them. Do you know that pedophile is not even a word anymore? It's minor attracted persons. How about pedophile? No, they're minor attracted people. It's subtle. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Okay, here it comes. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. So I want you to say the phrase again. Have a seat. 1, 2, 3.
Have a seat.
And I'm going to have you say it with your hand like this. Go, have a seat, like you're inviting somebody, okay?
Have a seat.
Yeah, it wasn't much different. Okay, so that was the same tone. What I want you to do is just go, have a seat, like that. Like, it's almost like you're somebody comes in, they're a little insecure, they don't know where to go, and you say, have a seat. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Have a seat.
Still the same. Okay. And so, we're having fun, bro. You know that. I want us as a congregation then to say it with a tone. Come on. Tone. That breathes life into, that shows the acceptance that comes through Christ when we come to agreement with him. Are you ready? Everyone's going to go, have a seat. 1, 2, 3. Have a seat. Some treble in there. There was some bass in there because there's men in the room and women in the room. And the women sound higher. The men sound lower. This is a God thing. This is how God made you and me. Your time's coming. Okay. Are you ready? Let's all do it again. And just, okay, 1, 2, 3. Have a seat. That is what the Lord is saying to all of us and all of humanity and every biker on the planet. If you'll submit to my love for you and experience my forgiveness, what comes through confession, then why don't you come and have a seat? For our position in Christ is not based upon our conduct, but his conduct. Have a seat. Now, let me tell you something about have a seat that is beautiful and yet scary. When you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, you see things like he does. Because you're in point of view. I don't know if I want to have a seat. Because I don't want your view, God. I want mine. Here's a phrase that's coming more important to me right now. In the sight of the Lord. Throughout scripture. In the sight of the Lord, this guy was an evil king. In the sight of the Lord, this man was a good king. In the sight of the Lord, this guy was an evil king. How many want in the sight of the Lord to be the sight that you also see from? And by the way, in the sight of the Lord will not be what color do you like the most or what bike do you like the most. It will be about something way more foundational than that. It'll be about the things that really matter, like love, covenant, faithfulness. I don't know about you, but Lord God, I want to be somebody who sees like you see. And I'll never, ever claim that I have the best point of view. In humility, I'll always say, Lord, help me to see clearly. Help me to see that situation the way you see it. But if you're seated with him, it's a privilege, but it's also a wonderful responsibility. You're going to have to start seeing things like he sees things. And frankly, there is a exodus within the body of Christ among many where they're not seeing things the way he sees them anymore. But that's how you have to see them if you're seated with him in heavenly places. Have a seat. What's the next one? Take a walk. Are you ready? And this time I want you to say it with a little bit of gusto, like, take a walk. Okay, one, two, three.
Take a walk.
There was some lethality on that. Did you? Take a walk. I mean, that was good, honey. We're not going to try to have you. That was done so well. But the Lord would say to you and me, don't just have a seat. Because there's some things you'll never know in Christ being seated. You must walk. If it's not good, then he's not done. No, he's not done with it yet. We have to walk worthy of the calling that we've received. Some are saying, where's that in the Bible? Well, are you ready? Ephesians 4, same book. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope according to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. I thought I'd throw a little redneck in y'all. Again, cancelable content. How dare you tell me there's one God? How dare you say there's one baptism, one Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in y'all? Who are you? A believer. Because what you believe is how you'll think. And how you think is how you'll behave. What we believe is what we think. And what we think is how we'll act. Here's another phrase. Pleasing to the Lord. Find out what is pleasing to the Lord. How about you? When I get up in the morning, I try my best in my continued growth in Christ to go, Jesus, help me to just really please you today. Like, that's in the Bible. Listen to these words. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through whom the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what well pleases him. To do his will, working in you what is well pleasing to him in his sight. Walk worthy. And of course, you know, it'll always be the big contention. Are you saved and then you walk, or do you walk and you are saved? Well, we believe that we're accepted before we're endorsed. We're accepted in Christ to be endorsed for service. We begin with acceptance. We must. It's just psychologically suicide to think, I hope I make it. I mean, if we have to be doing all this, hoping that we'll arrive, horrible boss. That's a bad God right there, in my mind. Like, how are you like, I hope I make it. Man, I gotta know that I've been accepted so that I can get going. And I believe that Christ has accepted us through what he has done. He began with have a seat before he said, take a walk. Now, the truth is, if you've really followed the Lord, if you really have him, you're desirous of his ways. And when you find yourself not walking in them, you feel conviction. And if you don't feel conviction, then we need to deal with your conscience. It's been seared. Am I right or wrong? Is that where we're going? Nah, I don't know. It's good you're visiting. Good to know you only show up once a week here. I know God's real because atheists act like he is. Think about that. I'm just here. I'm running into really nice atheists. And you know why? Because they act like there is a God and then deny it's his fault. Because he doesn't exist. There's so many atheists that are Christ-like in their demeanor towards others. And I'm going to blame it on God. The God they don't even know. Or admit exists. Listen to this. Humans gravitate to the authority of self, yet intuitively continue to cherish values that depend on the existence and authority of God. A God who defines morality, equality, sexuality, freedom, justice, and reason. Even the atheists act like there is a God. Not all of them. Some of them are jerks. Like some Christians. Can be jerkish. Jerky. Beef jerky. Just kidding. Have a seat, take a walk, and I'll end with this one. Make a stand. Some are saying, where's that in the Bible? Well, Ephesians 6, the same book, has these two positions of faith. And here I'm going to read from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you were able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, because the word of the Lord always slices and dices, it never pulverizes. God's word is not a board to condemn, it's a sword to convict. Now, I'm telling you, when God's word is declared, it slices and dices. It doesn't generally pulverize a person. It gets in there between the soul and their spirit, and they go, oh, you got me. Because swords have a tendency to get to the point. A 2x4 just knocks you over. Stand therefore, and I said all that. Listen to this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, here's where I want to share with you my definition of take a stand. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth and boldly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, not brashly. Boldly, as I ought to speak. May I submit to you that there's coming in our world today, especially in our Western culture, where it's time for you to open your mouth and say what you believe to be the truth regarding the gospel. It's time to open your mouth and say something. Not be afraid. And like Pastor and I talked about, that you would have the wisdom to know what hill to die on and the wisdom to know what hill to leave alone. Because you can't die on all of them. Because if you die, you only get to die once, so you're not around for the next hill. So you got to figure out what hill you're called to. How many here have not opened your mouth when you should have? I think that would be all of us. I don't think there's any of us that would go, you know what? I have totally delivered the word of the Lord every time it ever came up. No, we all know we've gone silent at times because we don't want to upset the boat. But at the same time, we need to be like Paul, who said that utterance may be given me, that I may proclaim boldly, boldly, the things of Christ. A book I've been reading recently talks about in the evangelical church, could it be that we are worshiping the idol of respectability, the idol of winsomeness, the idol of purity, and the idol of fatalism. Fatalism saying God's in control, he's sovereign, so it doesn't matter what I do, just God's in control. That's a cop-out. God wants you involved. The idol of purity, which says, well, that president, he cusses, so I'm not going to vote for him. Got to get a little deeper, folks. They all cuss. They're all messed up. Because we all are. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Winsomeness. Sometimes we're too kind for our own good. And you all know when your kindness is overboard. And I'm not referring to, I shouldn't say kindness, when you're aversion, like where you just don't deal, because it's easier. But you need wisdom. You need wisdom. And in the pastoral role, there's just such a burden to practice wisdom. You know, I get to come in and blow up and show up, blow up and blow out. And then pastor has to deal with stuff. That can be the way it is sometimes. So you got to watch. You got to use wisdom. And I'll share the illustration. And let's grapple with this thought. A friend of mine likes wearing Lululemon. Athletic gear. Maybe you haven't heard of Lululemon. But it's like higher end spandex pants and athletic gear. It's pretty cool stuff. It's made real well. It's quality material. And I have a friend who's a pastor. He loves wearing it. So he was contacted by them. Every year we do an ambassador for our stuff, just someone that wears our stuff. And it came down to the four people. You grapple with this. And Lululemon asked the skill testing question. Does he affirm? The LGBTQ, does he affirm? Does he affirm everything that we're, our belief system? And the person says, well, boy, you can't believe it. What they do for their city, they feed the homeless, they feed the hungry, they clothe the naked. They're just full on good works, man. And this company wasn't impressed. Let me tell you something. The world is impressed by our good works, but they're not also. They don't want you to do good works alone. They want you to affirm another worldview. And guess what my friend was? Disqualified. Because they're saying, you cannot, we will not allow you to be represented. Folks, we are called to love unconditionally. But you will not force me to believe something I don't believe. And why does it matter what I believe? Because all you do is care about how I behave. So why don't you leave me alone, world system, demons of hell? If this is what I believe, but this is how I behave, why don't you just rejoice in my behavior, which is to love others. Bless others. Be like Jesus. I'm sorry, guys. When Jesus left the woman in adultery, or when that conversation ended, sections of the body of Christ would rather he never have said, go and sin no more. The evangelical church, many within our movement, wishes he didn't say that. Jesus, why don't you just end with, he who was without sin, throw the first stone. Why don't you leave it there, Lord? Leave it open-ended. Why don't you have to tell her to go and sin no more? Well, because adultery is missing the mark. Do we believe that? If you don't believe that, then your thinking is going down a wrong direction. And eventually your behavior will too. Because what you believe is how you think. How you think is how you behave. I just feel like we're facing a future where people are going to go, the world's going to go, shoot, you guys. Just affirm. Shoot. Could you quit believing what you believe at that fellowship called Believer's Fellowship? Maybe your name is more important than it's ever been. Let's have wisdom. Amen. And the rest is beyond my pay grade. How about you? How many are thankful we can just end this thing with, and the rest is beyond my pay grade? How many are thankful you're not God, he's God, and I'm not God, but he's God, and we're going to leave the results to him? So be it. Have a seat. Be sure you take a walk. And then don't be afraid to make a stand. Because God is good. Are you ready? Have a seat, take a walk, make a stand. 1, 2, 3.
Have a seat, take a walk.
One more time.
Have a seat, take a walk.
Say it like you said it before. I want to hear, take a walk. Say it with attitude. Okay, you say it nicely. You guys say, make a stand. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Have a seat. Take a walk.
I felt it. I felt it. Make a stand. Father, we love you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this morning, Lord, I've endeavored in humility, I would trust, Lord, to simply say, I want your point of view. And Lord, I don't claim that point of view, but you have inferred that I am seated with you in heavenly places, which gives me the capacity to actually see things from the perspective of in your sight. Lord, that our lives would be pleasing, Lord Jesus, that our lives would be pleasing to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we would be those that rest in the unconditional acceptance that you've given us, whereby you did for us, Christ, what we couldn't do for ourselves. We are seated with Christ. Help us to walk worthy. Help us to take a stand in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for believers. And Lord, I thank you that you're taking them through this transition. I thank you that they have a word from you, and we stand on what we've heard. In the midst of not understanding all you're doing, we hold on to what you said when we can't figure out what you're doing, knowing that what you said, you will do. So I speak blessing upon this leadership team. I just pray blessing and infusion of the unction of the Holy Spirit, and the joy of the Lord would be their strength, Lord Jesus, as we move into the time in front of us, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Amen. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen.